talking on What's Next Part 5. What's Next Part 5? We're going to start with our opening scriptures again in John chapter 14, verse 15 through 17. And in verse 26, we're going to read it out of the Amplified Classic Translation. John chapter 14, verse 15 through 17. And verse 26, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter." In parentheses, it says, "Counselor, helper." Everybody say helper. Helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take into its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. But the comforter, counselor, helper, everybody say helper. Helper, intercessor, advocate, and strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things." Hallelujah. We're always in the school of the Holy Spirit. And he says, "And he will cause you to recall and remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Isn't that good? And then, of course, in John chapter 16, verse 7, Amplified Classic Translation, he says to us, "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say that it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper," everybody say helper, "advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, will not come to you and into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you and to be in close fellowship with you." Everybody say, "Help me, Holy Spirit." So we're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, because when Jesus came, he came to reveal the Father, show us the Father, to redeem us from our sins, but he also, before he left, introduced the Holy Spirit. And so we said, what's next is in the context of you have to get a re-understanding and an appreciation of the person, the power, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit we viewed as and before as our counselor. The Holy Spirit should be counseling you and I on a regular basis. Amen. But he also is here to help us. And so last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit helps us witness. We won't go back through that, but we talked about the Greek word parakletos, which means one called alongside to help or to aid you. So you've never without help. Everybody say, "I'm never without help." So witness is one of our primary ministries and missions as a Christian. You've got to witness Jesus' life, Jesus' love, Jesus' lifestyle. And so we said it's a tragedy and it's a sad statement that Christians don't share their faith, don't share their testimony, or don't share their story of transformation, that this is who I was before Christ, this is who I am because of Christ, and this is what I'm going to be, and what God's working on me because I am in Christ. And so we have to be a witness. Everybody say, be a witness. But we need some help. And he told us, though, he's sending us the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be a witness. Today, we want to pick it up on the second part. You go to the next slide, guys. About the help, he helps us pray. The next slide. Next slide. So he helps us pray. Everybody say, he helps us pray. Now let's read it together. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps. Everybody say helps. In our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or articulated in your own natural language. So now he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Let me read that out of the Amplified Classic. It says here in verse 26, Romans 8, 26, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. Now, bearing up is the idea of lifting you up and removing weaknesses. Lifting you up and removing weaknesses. What's the weakness? Because we don't know what to pray for, how to pray it right, what words to say, what words to pray concerning our matters of life. He said, so he lifts us up, for we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplications and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the heart of men knows what the mind of the Holy Spirit and what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, let's break down this word help, because Paul used three compound Greek words, three words to put together the enormity and the immensity of his help. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. So he begins this word help. We got it up on the board. Is soon, one word, anti, second word, lambanomi, third word, Greek word. So when you put it all together, can somebody say it together for me? Come on, just try to see if y'all awake this morning. Okay, sunantilambonomy. Sunantilambonomy. So Paul, who was well-versed in Hebrew and the Greek, had to find three words to get us a picture of how big and how vast the help of the Holy Spirit is in our personal lives. And so we see soon is the what? Partner means this simple word, partnership and cooperation. Everybody say partnership and cooperation. It looks like sun, but it's really pronounced in that tone soon, not sun, but soon in the Greek. And it is the position of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit doesn't do your praying. He helps you pray. So who has to pray? Everybody say, we do. But what is he going to do? He's going to come alongside to help us pray. But he's going to help us pray bigger and help us pray better. Because we could be missing the target when we should be on target. And the Holy Spirit said, come on, let's get this prayer on target. By helping you, partnering with you in your prayer life. Because sometimes we'll run to God and say, here's my prayer list. But God says, we got to get it straightened out, get a prayer life here. The Holy Spirit's helping you, coaching you in your prayer life. Because he doesn't want your ceilings to hit the ceiling, your prayers to hit the ceiling and bounce back down. When you pray for your family, when you pray for your children, when you pray for your situation, when you pray for your finances, when you pray over your body, accurate, on target. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? And some of us may be in this room partially frustrated because it seems like I've been begging God and pleading with God. But you've been doing all your praying on your own. You're not getting help. And see, this is a big deal because the Holy Spirit's called alongside to help you. You have to ask, help me, Holy Spirit. Everybody say partnership and cooperation. So that's the position of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's not going to take a position over you. He's going to take a position right side of you. He's your partner. Amen. And then the second word is anti. Everybody say anti. Well, we've heard the word antichrist or antichrist. But this is a position, this is the emotion and demeanor and disposition of the Holy Spirit. So he's got a little that devil's coming after you again. And the Holy Spirit's down on you going, let's get him off of you. So it's the attitude of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the attitude of the Holy Spirit. So he's violently against anything and everything that comes against you. Your role, your responsibilities, and your rights and privileges in Christ. Now, many of you heard me say this on Wednesday night. I'll say it again today because we need to take communion about this. It is not God's best because, you know, you go back and listen to read some of the books. Brother Hagin had one book I recommend, highly recommend it. I Believe in Visions. He had an open vision. He had an open vision of when he was in a hospital. It's called, entitled in one chapter, The Hospital Visitor. I was reading it over this weekend because we mentioned it Wednesday night. And so sometimes those visions are not to us, but they're for us. What am I talking about? That means it happened to Brother Hagin, but it's happened for us, our learning. We got to learn something from it. Because he's in the hospital room because he had stepped off the platform and he fell and shattered his elbow. Now, he wasn't sick, but he needed to be adjusted in his elbow and operated on, in a sense, where he had to put his elbow in a cast and all that. And he's laying up in the hospital room. And nobody's there, and he's thinking, okay, he's in the cast sitting up. And he hears some feet coming down the room. And it feels like, okay, is the nurse coming in? He's looking down, and he saw somebody in white. He thought it was a nurse at first, but then he saw sandals. And it was Jesus walking in. He said the hair of his head stood back of his head. He's like, Lord. So an open vision is the highest form of vision. A spiritual vision is when you see into God's realm, the spirit realm. Many of us can't do that. But we should be able to experience that occasionally in our life. Then there's the trance. We won't talk about visions today. This is not the time to do it. But an open vision is where the Lord comes into our realm. You see him. So he saw Jesus dressed in his robe, in his sandals, walking in his room. Sat down by his hospital bed and talked to him for an hour and a half about his ministry, about things. Now, he's in a sling. Arms in a sling and a cast. Elbow had been readjusted and taken care of. He had to let it heal up. And he told him. He told him why he had that accident. But before he told them that, he told them, it is not my will or God's will that none of his children, listen to me, none of his children, who's a child of God in here, none of his children ever be sick, ever be operated on, or ever have an accident. Everybody say it with me. Yeah, y'all with me? Never be sick. Never be operated on. And never have an accident. Now, that's the highest flow. That's the highest level and degree. The Holy Spirit is there to help us when we deal with weakness. Because, you know, this RSV, these respiratory issues, and, you know, people running around coughing and getting all clogged up shouldn't be what we stand for. The Holy Spirit will help us get that off of us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let me go back to the story. So he's in the hospital, and the Lord told him. He said, why did you get it? And this is something for all of us to learn. Number one, there's always a cause for sickness, for weakness, for accidents, for having to get surgery. Number one, what do we say Wednesday night, saints? We said what? Number one, you don't know your rights and privileges in Christ. You don't know who you are in Christ and what you have in him. What do we have in Christ? What do we have in Christ? We have a right. We have a right to be healed. Not just to be healed when sickness attacks us, but we have a right to what? Stay well and not get sick. Divine health. Divine healing is one thing. Divine health is a higher thing. Divine life is the highest thing. That means people hang around you, they don't get sick. That's when your faith in healing is the highest level. But we got to step up into this. There's too many sick Christians. We said it about last year. Too many sick Christians in the body of Christ. Too many sick believers can't do their assignment, can't come to church. Why? Because they're always got some issue physically. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good. But the Holy Spirit wants to be violently against anything and everything that comes against you. Your role, your responsibilities, your rights and privileges in Christ. So the number one cause why people allow sickness and weakness and accidents to come, they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't claim it. They don't walk in the light of it by faith. Number two, they don't have faith enough to receive it. You got to have faith to receive. Their faith is not developed enough. The surgeries I've had in my past doesn't mean that we can't have surgery. That doesn't mean I'm telling you never will get sick. No, you have a part to play in it. I've had several surgeries before, a couple of hernia surgeries, big surgery in 2003. I said, Lord, what? He said, your faith was not able to receive at that level, the highest level, where you avoid surgery. He just flat out told me straight up, your faith was not developed enough to receive missing surgery. So this is the next best thing. You just have to kind of get humble and repent and say, Lord, okay, gotcha. I'll take the next best thing. I'll work on the other things. Praise God. And see, some of us think, well, the Holy Spirit's going to take care of that. No, he's going to help you take care of that. He's going to help you get in those healing scriptures. And some people run quicker to a vaccine. Nothing wrong with vaccines. But you got to vaccinate your faith. Fully vaccinate your faith to receive the healing power of God, the scriptures that release healing medicine into your body. Even if you're taking pills, you should be taking them in faith. Because you can take pills without faith and you're going to get more pills and you're going to be dying earlier than you want to. Don't shout me down, preaching real good. Praise God. So we got to take communion in faith. Saying, Lord, I'm going to step my faith up. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit help me with my faith. Every single surgery, they rolling me in. I said, Lord, why? I knew why, but I just kind of wanted to talk to him before I go under the knife. And he said to me, faith not at that same level. He said, but it's going to be good. It's going to be smooth. It's going to be clean. But you got to develop your faith. The third reason. Now, what we're talking about, why Christians get sick. What happens when you get in an accident? What's the reason why you have to be operated on? It's number three, disobedience. Everybody say disobedience. Now, Brother Hagin was not sick. He had an accident, that elbow in a sling. Why? The Lord told him. He was disobedient. Now, remember, in the offering teaching, we just said, you got to be willing and obedient. You'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse to rebel, you're devoured by sword. Now, you say, was he doing some horrible sin, some heinous thing? No. What was he doing? He was not dealing with the ministry God had put him in and told him about properly. He was a prophet teacher, and he did it twice. In a short period of time, he said he introduced himself as a teacher prophet. In other words, he was emphasizing the lesser office and not the higher office. I got in trouble for the same thing. In 20 years of pastoring, I got in trouble because the Lord got on me. He said, you're falling in love with too much with the teaching ministry and not the pastoral ministry. He said, you are a pastor teacher. Now, I got conditioned after being an associate pastor for a number of years, different churches, teaching classes, teaching schools, teaching in the Bible schools, doing things like that. So I become more comfortable with the teaching ministry, the teaching mantle. But I'm not just a teacher. I have the shepherd's mantle. He said, you had been in the shepherd's office for a minute. So I said, okay. So I had to stir myself up, just like you do. You have to stir yourself up about your office. Because sometimes we think we just come to church, but our mission is to be the church. How can we help be the church? You be everything God has created and the Lord has called you to be. Not only in Christ, but in the church. What's my role? What's my responsibility? What's my rights and privileges in Christ and in the church? Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you get in your place and you get in your grace. So he had to repent. Sometimes he said, you know, he got sick or got colds, allergies, because he was being stupid. He said he had to repent of stupidity. His wife would even tell him, you know, you shouldn't go out there all hot and sweaty in dark, cold weather. And then next thing you know, you got all stuffed up. You got allergy, you know, you clogged up and your throat clogged up. And he had to repent of his stupidity. He had to repent to his wife, and he had to repent to the Lord. But see, the Holy Spirit will help you do these things if you're missing it. Come on, sister, tell me what those three things are. God's will is that we never be what? Sick. What? Have to be operated on. Operated on. And what's the third one? Come on, y'all, class. Ever have a what? Accident. No falling down ladders. No tripping over your front porch and busting your elbow and your hands. It's not God's will. Now, why am I saying this stuff? Because today when we take communion, God wants every one of us to come up to a higher flow. We're not going to let ourselves and open the door for ourselves to get sick. Come on now. Have to go out for operations and have to be get involved in accidents, because that takes us out of serving and sowing into the work and the will of God for our lives. He needs all hands on deck. He wants everybody that's a part of his church will be filling this whole thing. We'll have people standing outside. We have to open the doors. We may have to get a bigger room. Why? But people say, I'm sick. People are quick to claim the sickness, but it's not God's will. People say, I'm depressed. I got this. And it's almost like it's prideful, but it's really sinful. That's why we had to judge ourselves at the table. I've got the mighty Holy Spirit inside me to help me, but I'm not letting him help me. His attitude is what? His demeanor, his emotion, his disposition is violently against anything and everything coming against you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, last word, lumbonomy. Y'all getting this? He said that means to catch, to take, to catch, to seize, and to remove. This is the desire of the Holy Spirit. Everybody said the desire of the Holy Spirit. He wants to remove and carry away from you all that has come against you. Now, I'll say that again real slow so you can soak in on it. He wants to remove what? All and carry from you all. Everybody say all. What's come against you? What's come against you? Hypertension, high blood pressure? Diabetes, back problems. I was listening to a testimony. You can cut the slide off, guys. I'm going to wrap it up here and pray for the sick. Thank you. I was listening to a testimony this week. It was a sister. Many of you might know her. Her name is Reba Rambo. Everybody remember her? She was a daughter of the Rambos. I forget, Dottie Rambo. And she said the devil came to her because she was having back pain. Anybody ever had back pain? You don't have to raise your hand, but you understand what I'm talking about. Back pain. And in this account, she was testifying. She said she knew her mother before, had 11 back surgeries. Now, you remember, what's God's will? That none of his children be what? Sick, operated on, or have accidents. I'm going to drill that into you. Because we tend to accept the reverse. And we give excuses. Why I can't come to church? Why I can't serve the Lord? Why I got all this going on. Why I can't be a witness? But the Holy Spirit's the greatest helper you got. So, he said, you're going to have back surgeries after back surgeries, just like your mother. Anybody ever been told that? You're going to be just like this happened to your parents. So, what'd she do? She's praying, and then she switches over into other tongues, which is what I encourage all of us to do. When you don't know what to do. And suddenly, Jesus appeared to her. He asked her a question. He said, do you want to see pain, the spirit of pain? I know I'm talking to somebody because, you know, pain sometimes lives in our body. And we deal with it every week. He said, it's just a lazy old spirit. So he opened up her eyes. And she saw what looked like a grotesque, I'm using her words, a grotesque porcupine. Anybody seen a porcupine before? A porcupine. And she said every time it moved, those quills would stick into her. And Jesus said, you know what I'm going to do? And he took out some big, long, like gardening scissors, like you hedge, you know, you do your hedges with the big clippers, and it was made of jewels, diamonds, and on it was called the Word of God. And he said, I'm going to take the Word of God and clip off these quills, because see, she was experiencing constant pain in the back. And after Jesus cut off those quills with the Word of God, so she would begin to, after the vision, she quoted the scriptures, healing scriptures, and spoke them as under the Holy Spirit's direction and inspiration as they flowed up from her. She spoke it over her body, and the Lord was clipping off those quills till the pain had left, and there was no more need for an operation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. Maybe that's your situation. Because there's reoccurring issues and reoccurring situations where there's plagues that keeps coming back, keeps coming back, keep coming back. Hallelujah. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. There is never anything we face that we don't have divine help for. Oh, you should write that down. There is never anything we face that we have faced yesterday, we will face this week, this month, this year, that we don't have divine help for. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the definitions or one of the translations for Romans 8:26, what we just read, is the Carpenter's Bible. It's not in print anymore. You have to kind of research and find it. And it's not in your YouVersion. But it says it bridges the gaps between the spiritual realm or spiritual world and the natural world. In other words, the Holy Spirit helps you when you pray in tongues. That means we always say you receive the person of the Holy Spirit when you're born again, but you receive the power of the Holy Spirit when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in, with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. So some people try to diminish or demolish tongues and say, well, it's not necessary. I would say it's very necessary. We've often said when you don't know what to do, when you don't know how to pray, you should be praying in tongues. Hallelujah. So you don't cut off the flow of help, cut off the flow of power. Now, Pastor Nancy Dufresne said there was a lady in her church, and she was, come on up here, Francis. I'm going to illustrate this. She was, okay, I'm sorry. Knock that over. Thank you. Just sit right here. All right, young lady. She's in her mid-30s. Let's just pretend you're in your mid-30s. That's a good pretension, right? Good thing. Okay. All right. She's in her mid-30s. She comes to the church. She's expecting to get married. She's expecting things to go good. But they didn't. So she got a little offended and a little hurt, and she left the church. The pastor called her, Pastor Nancy at the time, and they had prayer every day at the church. And she said, I'm going to take 20 minutes. Or take some time today and just pray for her. Now, did she pray in English? Just a little bit at the start. And then eventually she started praying in tongues. With her attention focused on this lady in the church who left the church. 20 minutes, she said, she began to see what happened to that girl. She said the Lord showed her that there were two pipes coming out of the ground, because when she left the church, she had gotten diagnosed with cancer. She talked to the girl, and the girl wouldn't come back. She was very offended. Cancer was growing through her body. She said, "Look, what happened? Can we fix this?" She said, "There were two pipes as she's sitting in a chair in the church, coming out of the ground, and they elbowed right to her spot. But she took her finger. So, Francis, take your finger like this. Both hands, like this. Do it like this. And then stick them behind you." So she stuck them in the holes of that power. So the power didn't come up to her. She was blocking or stopping or refusing to receive the power. Now, what did I say to you? There's never anything we face that we don't have divine help. And we said it in prayer this morning that power is always present. And I'll say it to you again, how it says this way, healing always comes, but it's not always received. So she was blocking up that power pipeline coming right to her own seat where she was sitting in the church. She's sticking her fingers in those little holes. It was like a 1-inch type pipe. And you understand what pipes are like. So the 1-inch type pipe was coming up out of the ground, coming into her chair. The power was coming. Power was present, but she just whoop, blocked it up. But the Holy Spirit can help you with that. She came back after a year and a half later, and she was emaciated. She survived all the chemo, and she survived the radiation therapy, but she was basically really just looked like a picture of death. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. You're either going to let the disease take you down, or you're going to let the divine help of the Holy Spirit take you up and out of that situation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Francis. Thank you. Give Francis a hand. Praise God. Now, as we close, let me give you some more points here. The spirit realm helps bridge the gaps. Why do you need to pray in tongues? Because you don't know what gaps are there in your praying and in your saying. You need to be satabramakosete, lanaboho renikito kobahasikile, until you get the answer and the strategy of what you are to say and what you are to pray. Sometimes we pray too quick. We don't know. We just think, I'm just going to confess healing scripture. That will hold it off for a minute. But you need power, especially when you're dealing with the devil. Somebody say hallelujah. Praying in tongues is the primary way the Holy Spirit helps us. Praying in tongues is the primary way the Holy Spirit helps us. So in other words, the more we pray in tongues, the more he helps us. Now, I want you to think about your week. How much did you pray in tongues? Is determined how much the Holy Spirit has been helping you. So in other words, we measure our help to us. And so if you call me or ask me, I've been going through this and that, and that. Okay, how much has the Holy Spirit been helping you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? It's going to determine what? How much you've been praying in tongues, not looking at and thinking about the problem. Because when you're looking at and thinking at the problem, you focus on the need, you're actually worrying. God's not, the Holy Spirit's not going to help you worry. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. He's not going to help you worry. But he's going to help you get that thing off of you. He's going to help lift and remove that thing. I don't care if it's the worst case scenario for you physically. And the doctor says, come on, we need a decision. We got to do surgery. You better spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes praying in tongues before you make a decision. Major decisions, minor decisions need to be given to the Holy Spirit so he can help you with it. Woo! Y'all making me preach too hard this morning. Praying in tongues helps you determine how you open the door to sickness. Sometimes we need to know what's going on here. Why is this thing coming back? Every time there's allergies or the high pollen, I'm coughing. I'm all clogged up. I'm taking all this pills and medicine over the counter and behind the counter. Some people struggle with migraine headaches. They keep coming back. I got headaches, got headaches. And we're draining Tylenol bottles. We need to be praying in the spirit to find out what's going on. Why am I having these migraines come back? Y'all got real quiet on me. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on now. What does God's will? What does God want for his children? What's his best? What's his pious flow? That we never get what? We never what? Have to get operated on and never what? That's why we're taking communion. We got to get the Holy Spirit to help us with that. Amen. The Holy Spirit is your counselor, but he's also your medical advisor. He's going to help you. He's going to help you to shut the door to that sickness or that reoccurring condition. We said it last week. There were a couple who was 75 years old. They went to Bible school at the age of 84, husband and wife, traveling all over the world. They won 75,000 people to the Lord last year, 2024. 75,000 people, decisions for Christ. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire. And God wants to use all of us, old, young, everything in between. All hands on deck for the Lord. Are y'all with me today? Say it again with me. It's not God's will that any of his children, including me, never be sick, never be operated on, never be in an accident. In the name of Jesus, all to the glory of God. And we get into 1 Corinthians 14. He said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries, not hidden from you. That's that making up the gaps. Mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. He speaks mysteries, secret truths, the Amplified says, and hidden things. There's secret truths and hidden things, not from you, but for you, that you need to say and pray, because everything gets done by speaking. And you speak in out of your spirit, praying in tongues. That's your spiritual language. Hebrews 1 Corinthians 14, 4 says, the first part of it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. The best way you can edify. See, it's hard to be, to edify means to build up, to make constructive spiritual progress. It means to organize. It means to make progress. But sometimes we're tearing up our own house because we cannot edify others or edify our house if we're not an edifier ourselves. If we're not being edified ourselves. If you don't edify yourself, you'll never edify your spouse. Because hurting people hurt other people. You're going to tear your house up. Why? Because I'm not edified. I'm always dragging people in the mud with me, in the miserable place with me, in the moodiness of me, in the madness of me. I'm bringing people down. I'm not edifying. But praying in tongues edifies and improves yourself. People ought to feel better and feel different when you leave the room. They said, man, he really lifted me. He really blessed me. He really built me up. Praise God. Come on, y'all, stand to your feet. That's probably enough as you can handle it today. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands and thank God. Lift your hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all, pray in tongues if you can pray in tongues. Mando uste tila kana mahasa tela boho sikile basa tila kana mahata. Mase tele bo se tile kola maho se tila kana bahasata. Mando se ti tiku bambra meketa. The Bible says in Jude 20 that we are to build ourselves upon our most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's more height to go. There's more places, higher places to flow. But you'll never experience them, and you'll never know until you get the, you help partner with the Holy Spirit and begin to flow. Not praying in tongues enough to tap into that power. This is the time. This is the place. I've got grace for you and a race for you this very hour. So don't resist the power. Don't plug up the power. Receive the power today. And you'll be on your way to a better, beautiful, and brighter day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When you don't know what to do, hit it in tongues. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Tristan, put some music on for communion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just stay standing for a minute. Hallelujah. Sete la boho sike. Romoko sike de basuka de boko de. Hupanani sike de mosoto.
We only have one agenda.
None of the boho sike. We want to pray for anybody that got pain right now. Pain right now. Pain right now.
We didn't come for what we can
pain
get,
right
but
now.
What we can give.
See, that's hindering you from receiving.
And we desire you to inhabit our
the bossy kilek. Pain. Headache pain. Sinus pain. Back pain. Knee pain. Come on now. Let's run that. Take the word of God and run it out of our bodies by the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If you got pain in your body, if you need prayer online, text the word pray to the number on the screen. We'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. But you got pain in your body. You've been experiencing pain this week in your body. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hand up? Lift your hand up. I'm going to come to you. I see your hand. Hallelujah. Keep your hand up so I can see you, because sometimes I can't. I don't know if you got your hands raised because you're worshiping. Hallelujah. If your hand's up, you're in pain. You're in pain right now. Everybody say this with me. Say, in the name of Jesus, when hands are laid upon me, the power of God goes into me. It begins to work in my body, through my spirit, in Jesus' name. Pain leave. Pain be removed. In the name of Jesus. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for helping me remedy and remove this pain by your power and by your help. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 When the Holy Spirit goes into you, the power of God goes into you, it's done. Don't check your body to see how it feels. You receive that by faith in Jesus' name. By faith. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Gone. Gone. Receive. You got your hands up, Francis? Okay. Thank you. Just stand right there. Hallelujah. 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 Receive it. There it is. There it is. Right there. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you have your hand up or no? Okay. Hallelujah. Ola, receive it. There it is. There it is, Ola. There it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pete. You can stay right there. I'll come to you. I'll come to you. I'll come to you. I'll come to you. Lift your hands. Receive. Lord, I receive. There it is. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pain. I just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say the power of God. Anybody else's hand was up? Is anybody else's hand up? No? Okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The healing power of God. It's working mightily in me, affecting the healing and a cure, undoing everything, sickness, pain, physical problems that's done in my body. In Jesus' name, pain is gone. Sickness is gone. By his stripes, I'm healed. In Jesus' name. Right now, right now, right now, right now, just receive and thank him for it. Thank the Lord for it. Give praise and glory to the Lord. Pete, thank the Lord for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, you can receive your communion elements. Hallelujah. Pass them around. Just hold on to them. Hallelujah. I got one. Guys, put it on a communion song. You can. At this point. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, what are we committing to? What are we committing to? We'll never get, we're gonna go up to God's will. The level of God's will. That we never get what? We're gonna believe God, right? God wants his children never to be sick, never to have be operated on, never be in an accident. And since once it flows to you, it will flow through you. Now, I wouldn't mention to say, because what the Lord showed me, he said, there's a lot of sick things sometimes in people's houses. We're not able to deal with it because we're dealing with it. Amen. And so it'll flow to you, but also through you. We're going to commit to what? Letting the Holy Spirit help us, right? So we take communion. We're going to pray in tongues. Not barely, but enough to know when we've opened the door or when we need to close the door, how we need to close the door. Praise the Lord. All right, take your friend. Break and eat. We all agree, right? In Jesus' name. This body was broken for us, so ours doesn't have to be broken. Our mind doesn't have to be broken. Our emotions don't have to be broken. We don't have to see our children or grandchildren run amok or run wild or run away from God. Amen. That's a good place to say amen, right? Take the blood. Say it with me before you drink. God is on my side, for the blood has been applied. Every need shall be supplied. So I enter into rest, knowing that I will pass the test, every test in February and beyond. I will receive God's very best. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for your will and your highest flow for me to never be sick, me or my family. Neither me or any of my family to be operated on or to be in an accident. In Jesus' name. You receive that? Praise God. Now stand to your feet as you're dismissed. Again, if you need prayer online, text the word pray to the number on the screen. If you need to be filled with the Spirit, come see me afterwards. If you need to be praying in tongues. Everybody needs to be equipped with praying in tongues as we leave this place today. So we invite you to pray with us so you can pray in the Spirit this week and this month. Hallelujah. It's to your advantage. It's great help. We measure our help to us by praying in the Spirit. Get back to praying in the tongues. Hallelujah. We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you online. Bye-bye. And we'll see you guys tonight on prayer at Zoom at 6 o'clock or Wednesday here at the Spring Hill Suites. Not here, but Spring Hill Suites on Richland Hills Drive. Praise God. We love you. If you need special prayer, come on up. We'll talk with you and pray with you afterwards as well. So we love you guys. Appreciate you. See you later. Praise God.
This is communion. This is communion. This is called